Welcome to the brand new Country Fan Fest sessions from beautiful Tooele, Utah. I got to go up there. Country Fan Fest 2023. The first artist I get to sit down with, Miss Priscilla Block. Let's talk about what a firecracker this woman is. Got to bring her out to Vegas to play Stoney's Rock and Country. We got into it. Found out where she was born, how her career started, TikTok, Morgan Wallen covers, manager's music. We even talked Wheeler Walker and a little bit more. Go ahead and check out this interview from Country Fan Fest 2023. Welcome to Toad's Tunes.
Why'd you have to come back in right then, right when I was just getting good and gone? Guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You must have heard I was...
Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. We're out here in Tooele, Utah, Country Fan Fest. Priscilla Block, first time on the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm amazing. I'm happy to be in Utah.
Dude, if you're first time in Utah?
No, like this? So my mom's actually from Salt Lake.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so I've got some family out, you know, in the campers. I know they're wilding out. You know, my Aunt Missy's like, what are you doing? We got beer over here. I'm like, girl, I know you got beer.
So you didn't go visit them in the campground?
I haven't yet.
Well,
I'm doing this first, and then I'm going to go hang out with them. And my Uncle Tiger and my Uncle Billy might come out. So
they live in Salt Lake here?
Yes. So they don't live too far. My mom's one of 10 kids, so she's from Utah. Yeah.
I would have never guessed Mormonism.
So, I mean, you know, who knew? She's a Utah girl, too. I mean, here we are.
That's pretty freaking cool. Will you, is this, I guess, you played venues in Utah before, or?
No, this is my first time.
Your first actual show in Utah.
I think so. I mean, we might have done a radio show or two out here. I never know where I'm at, but.
You just wake up in a different city and everything's good.
Yes, it's pretty nice.
Where were you born?
I was actually born in California.
What part?
Lake Arrowhead.
I just had this conversation earlier. I was born in Riverside. I like to call it the armpit of California. And everyone says, well, hey, at least you said it.
Hey. I was born in California, which a lot of people don't know that about me. I grew up in North Carolina, but my family moved from California to North Carolina when I was like 2 months.
Okay.
So grew up in North Carolina, moved to Nashville out of high school.
Why did you sing and stuff in North Carolina? Just something you knew you always wanted to do?
I never really fully dove into it until I started writing songs. Like I felt like I could always sing.
What age did you start writing?
Started writing when I was 15.
Do you still have those songs?
Yeah, they're pretty terrible. But like they're kind of fun.
That's part of the growth of it all, right?
Yeah. I'm like, come back to me. I'm in love with you. I thought we were gonna get married. I'm like, whoa, girl, you're 15 years old. Calm down.
My daughter's 15. I'm praying that she doesn't write songs like that. Yeah. That would suck.
Well, you know, at least the emotion started early.
Right? Do you ever go back to look at those and just take like little snippets of things that you've done in your life and use those in today's music?
No, not really.
Not at all. You don't ever look back at those at all and just...
No, I feel like I go through like so much shit daily, like current stuff. I'm like, oh, I should write that. I should write that. I should write that. I should write that. So I typically don't go back to those early songs, but who knows? Maybe one day.
I think you should.
I think I should.
Are you one of those people that after you release music and you move on, you go back and delete those from any kind of platform that streams music like that? Or you just keep where you came from?
The stuff you record? Yeah, I still have my first EP up before I signed my record deal. And I think it's cool for people to like go back and
check out
early music. I mean, I was a baby in my different route EP. And it's cool because like those songs still stream and I own all that music. So hey, keep streaming it. I don't got to split it with anybody.
It's easy money. It's easy money. At what age did you move to Nashville?
I was 18.
18. And you just knew that's where you wanted to be?
Yeah. So I started writing when I was 15. And, you know, I knew that Nashville was probably where I needed to go to really chase this thing. And I sang around North Carolina a little bit, but it really started when I packed everything up. I moved to Nashville. I didn't know anybody.
You moved there by yourself? Knew nobody. Just got an apartment or did you rent a room or?
I found Craigslist roommates.
Nobody in the music industry or no?
I didn't know anyone. It was like the scariest thing ever, but like.
At 18 even.
Yeah.
So let's talk. You get there. You get a job. Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
I've worked like, this is like an ongoing job. I'm like, I've done everything but strip. You know what I mean? And I thought about it, you know, like I thought about it. I'm like, how am I going to pay my bills? But gosh, like when I first moved out there, I think I was like nannying. Then I was like the neighborhood dog walker. I was cleaning houses. I worked at a yogurt shop. I served at a restaurant. I would find shit on the side of the road and sell it on Craigslist. Like literally
hustle.
Yeah. Like I've been hustling for a while just to pay my bills. And I think that like when you're a dreamer that you kind of have to do that, especially like when you don't have financial help from anyone.
Absolutely. You see some people out there that just have that grind and it's natural. It seems like that's something you possess, which is not a bad thing in the world that you're living in when it comes to music.
You know, honestly, I think it just makes all of this better. Like the payoff's been so special because,
right,
you know, like I know where I've come from, and even my band, I mean, we used to play in bars with nobody there.
Right.
So it's really cool. Like, you know, when we come out here and we're playing shows with Scotty McCreery and Parker McCollum, and it's like, it's happening for all of us. And that's really, that's something that I'm really proud of.
How did somebody find you and say, we're going to work with you sort of thing? Was it a manager? Was it like, how did it all start?
So it started with my manager, Charlie. He's kind of managed me from the beginning, and he found me on TikTok. I was this girl, just, you know, we were in the middle of a pandemic and TikTok was this brand new app. And I literally thought it was like a dancing app. I didn't know I would be an app that I got discovered and, you know, everything went freaking wild.
Right.
So I started posting videos because I wasn't able to play in the bars. And I remember one day I'm like, man, maybe I should just try like posting some music on here and see what happens. Cause like there was really nobody in the country space at this point. Like,
right,
there were some pop things happening, but like country, definitely it took a second for it to start working, I guess, on TikTok. So I just started posting like videos after like 10 videos, 20 videos a day. And I started having some viral moments and I'm like, damn, like I'm going to make social media my full-time job while the bars are shut down, however long we're in this crazy ass pandemic. And I'm just going to do this. And so I started posting tons of videos online, and my manager, Charlie, came across a video. He's like, I'll never forget it. I was singing in my kitchen with a NASCAR t-shirt on and a bottle of wine. And I was singing Morgan Wallen's Whiskey Glasses. And he was like, there was something with you. And I was like, what in the world is this train wreck? I want to sign up for it. Like, he's just like, what is happening? And so, you know, so he reached out. He was like, hey, I don't know if you have a manager. And I didn't.
You just trusted him?
It was my band. Yeah. I kind of, at that point, you know, I built some connections in Nashville and, you know, you got to ask around.
Sure. So you did your due diligence with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just like all in. So it started there. And then, you know, I had a song blow up called Just About Over You. And that was literally the day after the day that I released it, I started getting calls from every single label in Nashville, New York, LA. We're in this pandemic. They're like, we'll fly you out tomorrow. Like, can you please come to New York? I'm like, what the hell? Like, where did you people come from? How did you get my number? Like,
right,
it was the biggest storm ever. Like, and it's just crazy, like, to think, you know, that it would happen like that. And for me, like, that was scary as shit.
Well, that's what you went there for, though, right?
Yeah. But, like, you wait for the moment, and then it's, like, the red carpet's being rolled out everywhere, and everyone's like, come with me, sign with my label. I can do this for you. I can do this for you. And I'm like, you guys are all lying, first of all.
Right.
Like, hold on. Like, but I was excited, and but so scared at the time. Like, I wanted to make sure no one was just taking this moment and using it for a moment.
Right.
You know, I want a career.
So what was the final settling then? Put you where you're at today.
So I'm signed with Universal, and you know, gosh, I met with so many amazing people, and I really took my time on it. Because I released that song in July, and I didn't sign my deal until the end of September. And I was just like, everyone's like, what is she gonna do? Like, I'm terrified. But I ended up going with Universal. I don't know. There was just something in my gut that was like, this feels right.
You felt at home there.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I remember sitting down in that first meeting and they were like, great. We know the song's popped off. Like, what else do you have? Like, what? And
they took the time to listen to what you already had.
Yeah.
Like stuff that you had in the bag. Already.
Yeah. Like, and that, you know, I played them My Bar and Thick Thighs and Wish You Were the Whiskey and all these songs that I had in my catalog. And they were like, holy shit. Like, there's a career with this girl. And that excited me, because anybody can take a song and have a one hit wonder. Well, not everyone,
yeah,
but
not everyone, but
I
don't
want
everyone.
That. And
no.
I didn't want that. And I think with them, it just made it feel easy. And they, from the beginning, they were like, Priscilla, do not let one person in this building change who you are, because what you're doing right now is working. So I think when you hear that, you're like, all right, sweet.
It's rare. I mean, I've obviously sat with a lot of artists and to hear a lot of different stories. Madeline Edwards was just in here and she said something along the same lines of just being true to who you are and everything like that, which I thought was really neat.
I think we're just in this time that like people can just read through any bullshit.
Yeah. Well, they have the ability to because you're posting your life out there. So
social media, you know, like before, I think years ago, you could really brand somebody into a certain character and have them put on this facade or whatever. And that's who they are as an artist. But I think now more than ever, like people want real, like they want, if you're a train wreck, like hopefully you're singing about being a train wreck. Like it, hopefully it is that real thing.
So a lot more train wrecks out there than you actually think of.
Oh, I mean, I'm the queen of train wreck city.
So what happens like after you show, you go out to your family's RV out there and you start just hanging out and all these people show up. What do you do? Like, have you done that before?
Yeah, I take a couple shots. And then
right.
Just,
and then you're just you. You just hang out like a regular person.
Well, yeah, until it gets crazy. And they're like, all right, my team's like, we're going to pull her out of here.
Yes.
Right now.
you got the heat over here.
Exactly. I've got a good tour manager and just, you know, I love going and hanging out. I'll pop into bars and say hey to fans and stuff like that. I think it's fun.
Did you ever do the Broadway thing?
You know, I really tried staying off Broadway. I had a guy that was my mentor. Like, I randomly met this guy. And his stepmom was Tootsie.
Okay.
Like, Tootsie's downtown.
The Tootsie.
And he was my friend's landlord. Me and him, his name was Steve Bess. And we would go get coffee. I would ask him like tons of questions. Like it was like kind of the grandpa that I never had. And he told me that was about a year into moving to Nashville. And he said, Priscilla, if I have one piece of advice for you, stay off Broadway.
You think it's a trap sometimes?
I don't know. You know, I can't really fully speak from experience clearly because I think it's worked for a lot of people. And I mean, that's a grind and that's really hard work. So I admire everyone that plays on Broadway. But I do think, you know, me being a songwriter and starting out as a songwriter, he was like, Priscilla, like, you can go and sing other people's songs, but if you're really trying to, like, become an artist and a songwriter and really dive into that, like, go work those audit jobs and spend your time writing songs.
Right, absolutely. It's a great approach.
And diving into the community. But there would be sometimes shows that I would pick up because I needed money. And my friend would be like, hey, we need somebody else to play with us. And I'd pick up my guitar and do a round with them downtown. But I did try to stay off Broadway, and I'm happy in a way that I did.
I used to think that there was two types of Nashville artists. I did for the longest time, and my thought process was that there's the Broadway artist, and then there's an artist like you're speaking of right there. And then I sat with John Marks, and he kind of opened my eyes to look at it a little bit different. It's a great place to build a fan base. Like if you're brand new to go out there, and you know, I have a couple friends that are artists that actually play there on a regular basis. They play at Old Red and stuff like that, and they sneak in their covers, but I always hear that it's they sneak in their originals when they're doing the covers, but I always hear that it's frowned upon, which is crazy. Like at Stoney's, if I hear more than two or three covers, I won't invite them back. Either that or I'll say something to them because I'm not like a lot of clubs. I mean, we have a natural walk up there that people come and they come for the new stuff. I always get that statement of, hey man, how come you didn't tell me when Luke Combs played here? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I didn't know he was going to be Luke Combs back then, but that's the whole reason why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Is we bring all these new artists in and kind of catch them before they blow up and then hopes that they come back when they're a lot bigger, you know, that sort of thing. Give them that.
Yeah. And honest, I mean, back to the whole Broadway thing, like no hate on anybody that busts their ass and plays down there. And I really think like when you're starting out and you're having to play, like there are some people that blow up overnight and cannot play an hour of songs.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we need more music. Like the set's cut short and they don't know other songs.
They just repeat it again.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. And Redneck Woman, round two. Here we go. But like, I think it is a great place, especially going out to Nashville to get your chops up.
Absolutely.
And someone can throw a song at you and you're like, oh, wait, I can play that song. And, you know, when everything kind of happened for us, like there was a time that I was playing for 6 hours in the Opryland Hotel in Nashville. It was a 6-hour gig. It was the shittiest gig of my life. I got paid $100
out front where people check in?
In the middle. Yeah. In Magnolia Lobby.
Yeah.
6 hours split between two people. Me and my best friend would play it. And it like I look back, I'm like, God, that gig sucked, but I'm so happy. Like when everything happened, like my label was like, I mean, how long can you play for? I'm like, however long people need me to.
Six.
You know, so it's made this transition of being on the road, playing out night after night after night, long sets. Like, I think you just, you're prepared for it.
Right.
It's like you're in boot camp prior to everything happening.
What's your favorite cover to play?
That's a good question.
Twice.
I mean, it depends on like it. Like, are we talking like karaoke, Priscilla, or like just outside?
Let's do both of them. Like in your set, like if there's a cover that you absolutely love that means something to you, and then let's go karaoke like a guilty pleasure song.
We do She's Country by Jay Saldean.
Yep.
But I do He's Country like for the guys.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, that's fun. Good. Like take the cowboy hats, you know, give them out because we get a lot of songs for the girls. So like the dudes love that. We also do a Paramore song, Still Into You.
Love it.
And then if I'm like drunk, like singing karaoke, like at Redneck Woman or Goodbye Earl or some Wheeler Walker Jr.
Wheeler Walker.
Yeah.
He played at Stoney's and I love it. He stopped in the middle of the show because someone was fucking with him, but I'm almost thinking he placed the person in there, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And
most publicity is planned, especially these days.
He stopped the show until the guy got escorted out, whatever.
Oh.
But then his poster on the back, he wrote, Stoney's, this place sucks, Wheeler Walker. It's like, because that's just who the fuck
he's
he is. He is that guy. He's an interesting character. I got to spend an afternoon with him, and he's a regular dude.
Yeah.
And then he played for PBR, a private event, not private event, but kind of.
Yeah.
And I told him that the president of PBR wanted to meet him. And so I walked, I think it was PBR, I walked him up there, and he goes, I need 10 minutes to get into character. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? What is it? And he walked up there and the guy was like, hey man, I just want to meet you. He's like, what the fuck do you want? I just went, oh wow, like this
guy
just,
like a flip switch.
This guy paid you all kinds of money to be here, and that's what you're going, okay, that's, you know, cool.
Well, like, at least like when people meet him, like it's consistent.
Definitely.
Maybe. Like,
I listen to
music adds up.
It does.
Yeah, it makes sense.
In his podcast, I don't know if you ever listened to any of his podcasts, but I did years ago. I listened to some of his stuff and I'm like, he's a very interesting character. His thought process of what he does and how he does it. He's not dumb. And I just listened to like, I think he did an album review of like Brian Kelly's album, and it's fucking hilarious.
Oh my gosh,
it is. He's just an interesting,
You know, it's interesting. Like we have talk about branding literally all the time, like me and my crew. And I think it's important to establish something that like people, they know it's you,
right?
Whether they see a color, like for us, like we were like, I was like, I'm gonna make blue my thing. And like, you know, for so long we were wearing blue, 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 blue. And I'm like, I'm going to do the high pony because I want people, like when you say Priscilla, like them to think, oh, the big hair, the hoops, the blue, like you see it.
Right.
And so
such a girl.
We started seeing that at the shows, and everyone was wearing blue. Everyone was wearing blue. Well, now we're on the construction vest things, and like people show up in their safety vest, and it's like hundreds of people at the show in a safety vest because I started wearing safety vests.
Right.
But there is something to an artist being like, when you listen to the music and then you meet them in person, you're like, okay, it makes sense. Like if Gretchen Wilson wasn't the Redneck Woman, we would be like, wait, what?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is.
And if Wheeler Walker wasn't Wheeler Walker, like,
right,
you would be like, oh, this is so confusing.
I put her, she played at Stoney's a couple years ago. We went out to CRS and she was playing there, and she got off the stage and came running up to me. She goes, I'm going to see you later this year. I'm like, I don't understand the question. She goes, am I coming back to Stoney's? And I'm like, you are.
Whenever you want, girl.
Whenever you want. Like, I could put her on a Wednesday and she'd kick ass
because
she's just that girl. What would you say is the song that you're most proud of to date?
That's a good question.
I like when you say that. I'm two for two on
it. Well, sometimes you do podcasts and people ask you the same damn questions. I'm like, gosh.
I'll let you think about that. But I've had that guy over there hand me a piece of paper. Not him personally, but hand me a piece of paper and say, here's your questions.
Oh, here's what, like, I want you to talk
and
about.
I just take those. That's why I always joke and say we're going to talk politics and racism, because that scares everybody. But the reality is this is just a conversation, and people get to find out you're real, and I think that's what's fun about it.
My favorite song, you know, I think it's hard to be just about Over You.
Right.
I mean, it was a song that completely changed my life. It was a song that I realized that real wins. That song, I wrote it exactly how it happened. I ran into my ex at the bar and wrote the story. I literally just wrote it how it happened.
Right.
And I put it out in the world and people loved it. And I think that it was just like I still think back to that time and writing songs. And I want to write my life. You know, fans crowdfunded that song. A lot of people don't know that. Like when it blew up on TikTok, there was a girl out in California that started basically a crowdfunding campaign for me to record that song.
Really?
And
I just got the chills. That's yeah. Cool.
And it's like when you have people that believe that hard in you, like I could cry, I get chills too. It's like the coolest thing ever. And it makes me realize like fans are everything. Nothing else matters. The music, songs are nothing without the fans.
Yep.
And
there's no ears then.
Yeah. How are your songs going to get heard? So that song is just, it will always be like so special to me. I feel like it's not even my song. Like, I feel like it's for all the people that like got told no in their lives. It's like, I don't know.
I don't think that's a bad approach to that kind of stuff. Where's been your favorite place to play so far? And you can't say Stoney's because you haven't played there yet. So.
Yeah. Well, we love Texas.
Yeah.
I mean,
they treat you well there.
Yes. I actually used to live in Texas for a little bit. My dad lives in San Antonio. There's nothing like Texas.
Nothing like.
They have been so good to me. Dallas is one of my biggest markets.
Is there a place there that you look forward to playing someday?
Billy Bob's. Yeah. I got to play there. I got to play a songwriter around there. And it was me, Clay Walker, John Party, and I think Maren Morris. And was it Reinhardt, I think? I don't know. And I was having the worst day of my life. Like, I found out that morning that I didn't win a new female at the ACM Awards. It was my first time being up for...
Nominated?
Yeah, nominated. Right. And there's so much pressure when you're nominated for the first time. I don't know what it is. I put a lot of pressure on myself. But
there's that hope. I mean, yeah. That's a goal.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I want it all. And that morning, I got a call from my manager, and he was like, hey, I just want you to know you didn't win. And I was like, shit, like just that feeling. And I had a show that night.
Right.
And I'm like, emotional train wreck, you know, like what you see is what you get. Like I'm crying the whole show. Like it is.
You were living it.
So that night, and we're playing Billy Bob's, like the freaking iconic place ever.
Right.
And Clay Walker's sitting right next to me. And I start playing Just About Over You. And like, I'll do the bridge, like, maybe tomorrow I'm just fine. Maybe it's the red wine that puts you back in my mind. So I stop there, and then everyone in the room just like started screaming. There's like 3,000 people here. I have goosebumps. And I am like, and my guitar player was right next to me. He knew what I was going through. And I just start crying, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. And everyone's standing up in the room, like cheering, and I'm crying right now. And I am just like a train wreck, like sobbing on stage because no one knew. I couldn't say anything.
Right.
And Clay Walker stands up and he comes over and gives me the biggest hug. And he was like, I don't know what you're going through right now, but he was like, you deserve this moment.
Right.
And everyone was just screaming. And so then I sing Just About Over You at the end. And I was like, guys, I'm so sorry. I've had such a hard day. And this is why I love country music. So that being said, that story just went on for too long. I cannot wait to go back and headline Billy Bob's.
That's fucking badass. Dylan Carmichael. He came through Stoney's and he had three things on his bucket list. One was to play the Opry. One was to play Stoney's, which I thought was badass. I'm always to play Billy Bob's. So I told him, when you get that Billy Bob show, you just let me know. You just got to make sure I get in. I'll take care of the rest. Because I like seeing that stuff. I've been three Opry debuts, one for Stephanie Quayle, one for Tony Jackson, and one for Sam Groh. And those moments, very similar to that moment you had at Billy Bob's, which is freaking rad.
I think it's cool.
What do you got going on the rest of the year?
Not sleeping. Well, honestly,
that's a blessing.
No sleep. I'm like, I'm not gonna sleep 3 years and then I'm gonna take a break.
There you go.
What do I have going on for the rest of the year? So I'm going off Old Dominion.
Huge.
That'll be fun.
Yep.
I'm playing Bridgestone for the first time.
With
Old Dominion.
Old Dominion.
And I used to play at the bar outside every Friday night.
Really?
So that'll be like
full
crazy.
Circle.
Yeah, I'll be sobbing up there too. Gonna do that. New music. I've got a song called Fake Names coming out next week.
Beautiful.
Do
you like just releasing singles, EPs, full albums?
I mean, God, we're in such a weird time, obviously. I'm an album girl. I love albums.
Right.
But I think it is cool, like, being able to release singles leading up to an album, especially if you're not fully done with the record. Like, everyone's attention spans are 0, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So like for me, if I can take one project and make it six projects, why not?
Sure. You like, keep them focused.
More push, you know, leading up to it, get people excited. That being said, you know, like
I see both sides of that because you see that whole idea of keeping people current with what you're doing. But then the other side is, I mean, I'm not talking like a Morgan Wallen thing where you put out 8,426 songs at one time.
Yeah.
It's more like, I mean, I like 12 to 14 songs, 15 songs, because you get the ability to, hey, I like that one. Let's see what else they're doing. But that's, I'm old school.
Yeah.
I also like
Vine. I mean, I like that. I think just growing right now as a new artist, you have to keep people engaged.
How long do you think you stay a new artist? Until what? What defines you as a, is it a year's thing?
That's another good question. You're a good questioner. Questionnaire? Is it questioner or questionnaire?
Questionnaire is something you fill out.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Hey, man, I asked you some cool questions.
You did. Okay, so what was the question?
How long is it? How long do you consider yourself a new artist? Like, what defines to where you not a new artist anymore? I mean, I've seen some stuff when you look at what Nashville puts out there, and I'm like, that dude's been around for 5 years. That's not a new artist anymore. So
yeah, it gets confusing.
Yeah, it does.
Especially like voting, because like you can only be nominated like in the new artist category like 2 times. So sometimes people will wait to push their new artist for like till they really have like success on radio and stuff like that. I don't know. I think that like me, I'm definitely still a new artist.
Right.
And I don't know if there's like a specific, like tangible thing that like, okay, I got that award, so I'm not like a new artist anymore.
So you're a new artist until you get that award.
I don't know if it's an award that makes you feel like you're out of that thing. I just think it's like,
what year was your nominee for New Artist of the Year?
Well, last year and the year before.
Okay, so
I'm out of that
two.
One. Yep. I'm out. It's fine. But not for the CMAs. So maybe I'll be up for new artists this year. I don't know. I get confused on everything.
We got nominated at Stoney's for Nightclub of the Year twice. And then it didn't happen again, which I thought was cool. For me, that was enough. I mean, just to get them out at that level.
It's the recognition that's nice. Like, especially by the industry that they see, okay, we see what you're doing. We think you're a part of like this new class, and that's great. But I don't know. I really think that there's just moments, like sometimes when I'm playing a show, there will be a moment like, damn, like this is working out.
Yeah.
And it's when you see everybody singing back your songs and stuff. And
your Billy Bond's experience.
Like you see that it's happening. Honestly, I don't know if I ever want to feel like I've made it. Like that's just like,
I think you'll lose that. I mean, I've had artists that have come through and then they have made it and they've come back through and they're completely different people.
Yeah. But it's like, and what's making it?
Yeah.
Like, sure, you can be huge, but there might be some new person that's busting their ass and can swoop on right by.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you ever want to be in a place where it's like, oh, I've made it.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
Like, I think being content in life and being happy and being able to pay your bills and doing what you love, like, that's freaking awesome. And I want to do that forever, but I never want to feel like I've made it.
It's awesome. Let's get you over to your meet and greet. Why don't you tell people how to find you online?
Hi, I'm Priscilla Block. I'm sorry, I'm going to make this really formal for you. I'm just kidding. I'm Priscilla. You can find me all things Priscilla Block. I don't think there's a lot of Priscillas in country music. And
probably.
I don't think there's a lot of Blocks. So if you search Thick Thighs, if you forget my name, just search Thick Thighs and
there you
are.
Thank you again for the time.
Yeah, thanks. Come back in right then, right when I was just getting good and gone. Guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You must have heard I was moving on. Then right out of the blue, 2:15, I'm all about you. When I was just about